Okay. Thank you again for joining us here on the first intro call for the Community Health Engagement and Health System Development Virtual Knowledge Group. This is Tracy Morton at TASC with the National Rural Health Resource Center, and we here at TASC are really excited about launching these virtual knowledge groups. We hope that the FLEX program personnel that participate in these groups find them to be beneficial. And what we'll do today on the call is talk a little bit about what the purpose is for these groups, how we feel that they could be beneficial, who the participants include, how we envision them functioning in the future, and also then we'll move into a discussion about some potential issues or work projects that the group might be interested in addressing in the future. But with that, I think it would be beneficial if we could go around and the folks that are on the call today could introduce themselves. And if you wouldn't mind stating what your role is in the FLEX program, because I think that those that signed up to participate all come from a couple different roles in the FLEX program, what office you're with, and then what experience you have within your office or that you're looking to gain about health system development and community engagement. I should note first, though, that I'll be participating in these calls as I can and in the work in the group as I can. However, Cami Norland, who is the community specialist here at the National Rural Health Resource Center, will be the lead person on task for helping to coordinate and support this group. Cami, unfortunately, wasn't able to make this call this afternoon, but she'll be kind of one of your main points of contact in the future as well. So if we could just go around and introduce ourselves, that would be great.
Hi, this is Edwina Ducker in Maine.
Hi, Edwina. Let's see, I know that you're the FLEX coordinator there. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with...
Sorry.
It's okay. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with health system development or community engagement or kind of what you're looking to learn about?
Sure. I guess I'm actually come on all the calls because I obviously will learn something from everybody, but my reason for coming on this call particularly is we do not really have a health system per se with our critical access hospitals because the vast majority of them are within their own systems, and we are in the very early stages of a developing network with the critical access hospitals. And the reason I am here particularly is to hear more about how people develop those networks and learn to collaborate and work together and gradually, quite possibly, move into a more formal arrangement. Besides that, I'd like to hear what people are doing with needs assessment. When it first came to light about all nonprofits having to do a needs assessment, I really pushed that really hard. I did lots of talks. I brought people to talk to our CEOs. You know, I did lots and lots of work, and I've heard nothing. Like, I ask, and they don't seem to say an awful lot, and they go, yeah, we're doing it. Yeah, we know about it. So I just want to hear what other people are doing with that. That's the reason why I'm on the call.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Who else is on the call this afternoon?
Hi, Tracy. This is John Packham. I'm with the Nevada Office of Rural Health. I've also agreed to serve as the chair of this committee. My experience, I guess, is the State Office of Rural Health has assisted a number of communities with community health needs assessments, and I'm really keen on our state playing a role for those hospitals that need to meet the new IRS requirements for community engagement and so forth. And finally, I've worked closely with our cooperative extension here on our state's version of rural health work. So look forward to working with this group.
Great. Thanks, John.
This is Carol Bischoff from Montana. I'm the FLEX coordinator, and we've been doing community health assessments here for a few years and would like to maybe take that to the next level. Also, I have quite a bit of trepidation about and would like to know what's going on elsewhere in the country and see what we might be able to implement here in Montana around the relationship between critical access hospitals and community health centers. That's kind of the main reason for my participation, I guess.
Great. Thanks, Carol. And is there anyone else on the call this afternoon? Okay. Small group today, but I think that's okay, and hopefully the recording can benefit people. I know that we sent out the call information pretty late here at TASC. So we'll just move forward from that, and hopefully some other folks can join us as we go along. So please do feel free to interrupt me as I go through kind of the purpose and benefits and things like that of the group. I know that Edwina, you've been on a couple calls, and John, you've heard this already before too, and most of this information was sent out via email, but I just wanted to take the time to clarify anything that might come up. So these virtual knowledge groups are really established for your benefit, and that's and we really truly mean that. These aren't task groups. We want to provide whatever support we can here, but that they're really for your benefit, and we hope that they can provide a vehicle for discussing FLEX-related topics and communicating with each other in the future. We hope that they'll help with building knowledge about experiences and lessons learned, trials, failures, successes, and we hope to also, with these groups, try to build on the collection of FLEX-related information, resources, and tools to share with each other. And then also that this group will serve as a key information group to provide input here to the task staff, to the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, to the FLEX monitoring team, and to policymakers, too, if that would be so fit. We really don't want these virtual knowledge groups to be redundant in any way to any of the other previously established national groups that might exist through NRHA or NOSOR or something like that. And so we really want these groups to focus on the topic at hand in the context of the FLEX program, and really to talk about the work that you're doing in your programs, the objectives that you're and activities you're trying to meet with your grants, and try and keep the topic, which is a broad topic, as narrow as possible just within the context of FLEX. We think that these groups can really be beneficial with providing some collective input and hopefully some problem solving. We feel like it's an opportunity through these groups to get comments and edits on draft documents or ideas that you're developing. We realize that a lot of the states have great relationships with maybe a neighboring state or just a state that they've worked with in the past, but we hope that these groups also will provide a way to kind of provide more clarity about what some of the other states are doing that, you know, maybe there's a state right next door to yours or a few states over across the country that's doing something really similar that could you could benefit from, or maybe they're trying something that you've tried in the past that either worked great or didn't work great that you could they could benefit from learning from you from. So really hoping to share some experiences and tips and lessons learned with this. And we see it as kind of a format to try out some ideas and just a sharing resource. So really these virtual knowledge groups are meant to be, they're a communication method, if nothing else. Let's see. So participation on the groups is voluntary. You've all kind of opted into the groups, and we hope that they're meaningful to you. If the groups aren't meaningful or if they're going in a direction that you see is not beneficial, by all means, contact the chair and contact your lead support person here at TASC and let us know about that, because we really want to invest time into making them successful and beneficial and not have some initiative that just starts and isn't meeting what you anticipated it would do or it just kind of fizzles out. We really don't want to have that happen. And these groups kind of came about last year from the FLEX conference in 2010. It's just sort of a method to try and connect the state programs together. And so it's been kind of a long time coming to get these going here at TASC, and so we apologize for any delay in that. But we think that we've put together a good plan with some of the tools that we've developed here and we'll be launching soon that I'll talk about in a little bit to try and make these virtual knowledge groups as successful as possible. So we're looking for participants to be active and to contribute and engage with each other. And because we want these really to be a comfortable spot for sharing information and being candid with each other, we've limited the participation in the groups to include State Office of Rural Health Directors, FLEX coordinators, other key state FLEX program personnel as indicated by that state program, staff from ORHP, from TASC, and the National Rural Health Resource Center, staff from the FLEX monitoring team, and staff from the TASC Advisory Committee. We've also included staff that might be from another federal grantee, for example, some of the folks at Mountain States Group that work in the Delta Rural Hospital Performance Improvement Project really have a lot of great information to share on some of their experiences and the technical assistance that they provide. So we've invited those type of grantees also to be participants as well. Consultants and other experts are not included in these virtual knowledge groups on a regular basis. They can be invited to participate from time to time on a short-term basis as requested by the group. And so we did that purposefully, though, because, like I said, really want this to be a comfortable environment for sharing information and bouncing ideas around. Also, other, I guess, content experts could be invited from time to time to participate in the group as well. Any questions at all about those sorts of things, or does that kind of clarify what you envisioned this group was maybe going to be doing from the messages that you received?
Well, it helped me a lot. This is Carol. I think I'm getting the drift.
Okay. All right. So we have a couple different ideas about how these groups can continue to function, too, in the future. And we really thought that they could be best served and probably function at their best if they're led by the FLEX personnel that are participating in the group. And so we really want the activities and the communication to be driven by the group participants with support from TASC. But we really want you guys to run the show. It's your group and make of it as you wish. To that, we also invited then a state FLEX program volunteer to be the chair of the group. And so I spoke earlier in the week with John Packham about chairing the group, and John graciously accepted. And so we're really excited about that. And I think having that lead come from the FLEX role and that perspective will be a lot more beneficial to the participants on the call or on the communications than having somebody at TASC do that, who's, you know, we're still an arm's reach away from the work it is that you guys do every day. So thank you, John, for agreeing to do that.
Sure.
We do want to, though, invite the opportunity to have a vice chair appointed by the group. If something comes up and John isn't available, or just to offer some additional support to the group, too, we'd be interested in having a vice chair available. So if anyone on the call or that listens to the recording is interested in fulfilling that role, please send me an email. And I'll coordinate with Cammie on that, and then we can get a vice chair for the group appointed as well. So we'd like the group to make decisions together about how they work and what issues they want to address, and we'll talk about issues here in kind of the second half of the call. But we have in mind a couple methods of communication for the group to continue to network with one another. One is through conference calls, and we at TASC feel that we can support quarterly conference calls for this group if that's so desired. If you want to meet more frequently than that, we can probably handle that. Bear in mind, though, there are 5 different virtual knowledge groups, so it's a lot of calls for us to handle on a quarterly basis above and beyond what we do normally here. So if there is a state office or a FLEX program that's interested sometimes in sponsoring a call, too, we'd be more than happy to accept that offer, but want to make sure that if that's your chosen method of communication through conference calls, that we can fulfill that need for you. Another way is through email. And we can set up an email group distribution list if that's something the group is interested in having. And then another method of communication that I alluded to before is the Flex Program Forum. And I'll explain that a little bit here. So the Flex Program Forum is a web-based forum where you can log into and engage in a conversation with your peers in kind of a secure environment. So we'll be providing an introductory conference call about what this forum is and how to use it on Friday, June 17th, which is a week from this Friday, at 2 p.m. Central Time, and you'll receive information coming in your email about that webinar. But what we'll cover in that call is how to log into the forum, how to create your account and access rights, and then how to navigate the forum, how to post and document, share discussion, whatever. And so the forum really is a secure online location for you to log into, post your comments about a particular topic or start a discussion. You can post hyperlinks to resources. You can upload resources. And it's just another method of communicating. So we see that as a way for these virtual knowledge groups to continue to discuss and conversate with each other through this Flex Program Forum. The participation on the forum is limited to the same exact participant group as the virtual knowledge groups. So consultants won't be invited to join that forum, nor will experts or technical experts or anything like that. It'll be the same exact group. And we really wanted it to be a comfortable, again, environment for sharing information, posting draft documents, and seeking comments and edits from your peers. And a spot to be able to be candid about what it is that you're working on. And so we hope that it's an easy tool to use and a quick and accessible tool to use as well. The discussions on the forum will be posted by topic area. As I mentioned earlier, there are five virtual knowledge group topic areas, and they include emergency medical services, health information technology, financial and operational improvement, health system development and community engagement, and then quality improvement. And so those topic areas will be showcased in this virtual or in the Flex Program Forum. So you'll actually be able to see discussions on there in all those different topic areas, and you can post your discussion topics to particular areas as they fit. And so if you're involved with other virtual knowledge groups, or if you want to just monitor what's happening with the other virtual knowledge groups, if they're communicating through that forum, which we hope that people will, it'll be a way to kind of keep a pulse on what's going on too. Any questions about the Flex Program Forum or ways for the group to kind of function and communicate with each other in the future?
Tracy, I have a question about the forum. When somebody posts something, will there be an email alert to everybody who signed into that forum that something's been posted?
That's a great question. So what will happen on the forum is visually when you're looking at the forum, the most recent post will actually show up on kind of the main landing page. So the most recent activity will be posted on the main landing page of the forum. But you can also create subscriptions. And so say you're interested in monitoring all posts that happen within the community engagement health system development topic area. Mm-hmm. You can sign up to receive a subscription to any posts that happen within that topic area.
Oh, okay.
You can also sign up to receive subscriptions about just comments or posts that might happen on one particular discussion that you're watching.
Okay.
Or you can, if you want, receive a notification every time something is posted to the forum. We're working on trying to figure out here how frequently those emails will come, if it'll be like a weekly generation, if it'll be a real-time generation of those subscription notices. And we'll talk about that a lot more on the webinar, too, and explain the process for signing up for those subscriptions. But, yeah, there'll be a method for you to actually receive notifications so you don't have to always be logged in and monitoring what's going on.
Yeah, that would be good. It's a bit like an expanded Blackboard, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. No, that, yeah, having that kind of, if you sign up for subscription, that you can be notified there's something going on would be actually quite useful.
Yeah, we hope so too. Any other questions about the forum or communication methods of the group? One other communication that'll happen is at the 2011 Flex Conference in Maine, on the agenda at the end of the first day of the conference, we actually have time blocked for the virtual knowledge groups to meet with one another. And so that actually will be kind of your next formal meeting, if you will, of the virtual knowledge groups, is for those that are in attendance in person at the Flex Conference on July 12th. You'll meet in the afternoon to talk with each other. So
I have another question. Those virtual groups, because I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I've signed into all of them because I know nothing and I want to hear what everybody's saying. So will they be concurrent or will
they
be stacked?
Okay. Yeah, they're concurrent, so you're just going to have to pick one to go to.
Oh, no!
Yeah. I'm curious what we'll do at those groups is whoever the room monitor is or the facilitator that's representing TASC or OHP to kind of run the conference, that they'll be tasked with taking minutes or some follow-up action items and things like that. So we'll be sharing information about what happened.
Okay.
And we'll probably, in I think good efforts, post on the forum what happened too in those meetings too. I think it'd be a great spot to kind of talk about what happened and get people to go to the forum to see what happened. So
okay. I can be a butterfly.
Yeah, that too. I think the session, off the top of my head, I think it's a 45-minute session. So,
okay.
And it's just kind of the last session, I believe, on that day. So,
right, so it'll be fairly flexible, I guess,
right,
between the end of the day. Okay, thank you. Because I'm sure other people are going to be moving around as well, because I know I'm not the only one on every call.
No, you're not, yeah. Any other questions? Okay. I guess that's kind of the prepared materials that I had to talk about the purpose of the group and how we envision it working, support you can expect to receive. Any concerns at all, or off the top of your head, does one communication method sound better than another? I know there's only a few people represented here on the call, but.
Well, I like the forum business.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just
it
gets just a little much to, you know, the schedule just gets too nuts sometimes to actually block out time.
It does. So
even to read emails sometimes, whereas being able to go in and look when you want to. And having the face-to-face so close to when we have just had this conversation is actually quite nice. It's just, it worked, the timing works really well.
Great. So I guess with that, then, maybe let's move into each of your perspectives about some issues that might be occurring and that you're familiar with within the topic of health system development and community engagement within each of your states. We asked those that could be on the call to come prepared to talk about some important issues in the area. And so if you want to just kind of go around, Robin, and talk about what you see issues are, I'll document this, and then we'll talk about some follow-up activities. John, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm happy to start. I think, as I alluded to earlier, one of our more immediate issues for our critical access hospitals are those nonprofits that have to meet the community engagement and community health needs assessment process that came out of the health reform legislation. So that's one thing that we're actually ramping up and working with Gerald Dukeson and the folks in Oklahoma who are developing that toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we'd like to do is start with that toolkit, not reinvent the wheel, but also tailor it to what we and our facilities determine to be, you know, unique to the state or this part of the country or something like that. And I'm trying to think of the other thing that I would just toss out there is when I think about And I'm kind of going off the guidance, the grant guidance, and the issues that were listed under there, and wanted to just mention that one of the suggested activities in the guidance under the health system and community engagement area that we put into our grant application for the last couple of years is work that we have done with a program, a health access program for working uninsured residents, and it started out in the Reno-Sparks area in a metropolitan setting, and we've worked with that organization over the past year or so to expand that into rural areas of Nevada. And I just mentioned that because that's one in which, required a little bit of work before that implementation took place to make sure that we were tailoring that access program and the way it worked in urban Nevada to rural areas, which, as everyone knows, have many of the same uninsured and access problems. But that would be kind of the second area. And then I guess third, I would just mention, again, work that we've done. Fortunately, our number of facilities and communities are relatively smaller than some states. But we've been able to provide financial feasibility assessments and so forth with not just the critical access hospitals in those communities, but community stakeholders in really broad terms, including community health centers and RHCs and so forth, to assess new service lines or new services that they might be considering. So what I can learn from other flex programs, that's part of my motivation for participating in this group. And I just think collectively there's a lot of expertise. I looked at each of the groups and the listings of folks there. So there's a lot we can learn from one another.
Absolutely. And just thinking about the listing there for a second, what we'll do here at TASS, too, is put together a better contact list of those that have signed up to participate in this group that'll include name, organization, email, and phone number so that you have all that. Most of these people, we already have their contact information on the TASS website under the state profiles, but just as an aggregate thing for you guys as a quick reference, we'll put together that contact list. And I imagine that the group participation will kind of ebb and flow over time, so we'll try to keep that as up-to-date as possible. John, I think you bring up some great issues, though. I mean, the IRS requirements, I think, are kind of on the forefront of a lot of people's minds that are thinking about community engagement and community health needs assessment. And another thing from my previous work in public health is that a lot of local public health agencies are going for national accreditation, and what that entails for them is actually doing a community health needs assessment as well. So I think in any place that you can align the services that are being provided to the hospital and getting them to partner with their local public health agency if they're doing the same sort of work is just an opportunity to maybe not necessarily kill two birds with one stone, because there might not be total alignment, but definitely a way to not have as much redundancy as possible.
Well, and since you brought up public health, I would add that if there's any appetite with this group, Nevada's taking a real close look at the regionalization of public health services.
Okay.
And multiple counties working together to pool resources to, you know, just provide them where they don't necessarily have the population base to establish a county-level health department or public health services, maybe looking across three or four. And that's as it's taking place in Nevada, is really starting to get some momentum, and it's actually going to be a feature of our State Public Health Association annual conference in a couple of months.
Sure, and I can imagine that, you know, our critical access hospitals might, you know, in the interest of partnering for whatever work it might be, would be interested in, and how those models will shake out. So that might be an issue that the group might be interested in pursuing.
Tracy, it's Edwina here. That actually conversation is just a really good place for me to come in, where we have two areas of health systems that we have put our flex dollars into, and one of them is exactly that, public health workforce development. We have here in Maine, not by county, but by district, public health districts. So some of the districts will morph into one or two counties. And we have, for want of a better, Healthy Maine Partnership Leaders Committees, plus coordinating councils that do that public health work for us. And we are using some of our flex dollars to help fund that workforce development out in the in those different public health districts, which are working on their own needs assessment and are rolling that work into the work of the needs assessment of all the hospitals. So all those Healthy Maine Partnership leaders are connecting with hospitals and other healthcare providers in their districts to bring them all in together to get them to support the work plan that they have committed to as a result of their needs assessment. And also that will help hospitals and other facilities do their needs assessment, because as we know, it's a collaborative effort and they can learn and draw from each other's information. The second one that we support is EMS and the community paramedicine, but that's been discussed on the Emergency Medical Services Forum, so I'm not going to go into that here. The needs assessment for me is, like I said earlier in the call, I don't know how other people seem to really do it, but I ask, I give information, I send it out. Okay, we do have John Gale from the Muskie here. I brought him to 3 or 4 presentations, and none of the hospitals, they kind of go, yeah, but I don't seem to be able to get them excited and concerned about they have to do this. And it sounds like, for example, John, you know, is way ahead, has it engaged in doing things, and that kind of concerns me. They don't seem that concerned, no matter how much talking I do about it. So I would like to hear more about how other people are motivating and keeping it high on the agenda, so CEOs and hospitals are actively pursuing getting their needs assessment done.
Good suggestions, for sure. And I think, Edwina, too, with the EMS, you bring up a good point. And, you know, in the Flex Grant guidance, the EMS activities technically fall under this core area.
Yeah.
But I think since there is a separate virtual knowledge group for EMS, we'll try to keep the topic separate. But I think, you know, as things come up in conversation with this group here at TASC, we can feed that information to that other virtual knowledge group through their chair. And definitely through the forum, I think that that'll be a way to bounce information around back and forth too. So, you know, I think we'll try to keep it out of the conversation here, but if it comes up, that's fine, and we'll just, you know, make sure that we're not being redundant, but just sharing information back and forth too. Carol, what are some issues or concerns that you're seeing?
Well, as I said, we've been doing community health assessments now for a while, and I don't know how much would happen in this area if Flex didn't pay for the assessments to be done. The problem, of course, is they're expensive. We can only do so many a year within our budget. So, you know, and now I think there's like that 3-year, they have to have these assessments done like every 3 years. So I don't know how that's going to pan out in the future, but it's been pretty popular, and we've gotten, well, I think we've got like 30 of them done, but some of them are now already 5 years old, so, you know, that definitely will be an issue, the frequency of the need for the assessment. But as I said earlier, one thing that we've kind of been, this was in the guidance as well, as far as building these cooperative relationships between the critical access hospitals and community health centers to, you know, enhance the, their, well, just to save on resources, first of all, and to enhance both of their roles in the community. And I know it's a problem around the country as far as this, there's this adversarial relationship. And it is, you know, we've got like both extremes here in Montana where we've got very a very positive, great working relationship between a CAH and a critical access, a CHC and a CAH. And on the other hand, we've got, you know, almost like get your pistols out relationships in some communities. So I'm trying to figure out, that's one of the projects yet in this grant year, is to visit with the community that's got this good relationship and just talk with, I've had conversations with the administrator, but I've not conversed with the community health center staff and just, you know, sit down with them and figure out, well, what's working, you know, bring the group together. Why does it work in Libby, Montana, but it won't work in, you know, XYZ, Montana? So I just, you know, I know there's been successful projects elsewhere in the country, our successful relationships, but I just, it's like, boy, there's so much politics wrapped up around this, and I'm not sure where to put my feet. So I think that's my biggest concern.
And where I agree. That would be a great conversation to have, because that's something, yes, that we all deal with. And it's interesting, we have exactly the same thing in Maine. We've got a couple who play together, swim together, eat together, you know, it's fantastic. And others, that one in particular, that, yeah, like they're all of barely half a mile apart and it's pistols at dawn. But something really interesting happened really recently. Both organizations realized how financially badly they were doing. Like, they are really, really struggling, like, seriously. And for the first time ever, both boards have said, we need to talk.
Hmm.
It was just like, hello?
Yeah.
We've been saying this for years. And we've been trying to get them together, and you get them together, and it doesn't work. But really, only in the last month or so, and they really are in serious trouble because we have mills that are closing. So that really is may happen. And I think that kind of has pushed them to the edge as well. The mills are closing. The insurance base is going. So they are going to be totally dependent on under and uninsured. And they've both realized that we can't survive separately with this environment. And the boards, not just the CEOs or the CFOs, the boards collectively have said we need to sit down and work through this together.
Oh, that's good.
So you just have to close a couple of factories, you know.
Yeah. Get your back up against a wall.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the participant list of those that signed up for the group, and just looking at the list, there's quite a few states on here that I know of that have been really working a lot to address the CAH and CHC collaborative relationships, including providing some sub-grants or subcontracts for that particular work even to happen within their FLEX program. And so hopefully some of those states can participate in the future and share some of that knowledge if this is an issue that the group decides to pursue, because I think there's definitely some great collective wisdom in this group of people that have chosen to participate in this topic area.
Hey,
yeah,
Tracy, I was wondering if it would be possible, and maybe I'm trying to think of if there, boy, it'd be nice if even before the meeting in Portland, we were able to do a quick survey. I mean, like, for me, it would be like five bullet points of what activities Nevada has supported or pursued in this category of the grant application to kind of get that out there.
Okay.
What do you think?
Let's see. So explain that again, what you're looking for. I'm sorry, I didn't quite follow.
In the last two grant applications, we've proposed a set of activities that fall into this particular area, and leaving the EMS out of it, since that's its own virtual group, I'm wondering if it would be helpful for those who are participating in this virtual group to just list, not go into any detail, but just list those activities that fall in this area so that we're kind of talking on the same page from the get-go.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Sure, that makes sense. And I think there's, you know, two routes we can take with that. One, we have state profiles from the majority of the states that they might have indicated what issues that they're pursuing this area, so we might have that already on hand.
Okay.
Secondly, we also get a copy here at TASC of the grant proposals. So what you submit to OHP, we eventually receive a copy here that doesn't necessarily reflect the work that you truly end up doing, because if you don't receive your full award amount that you requested, some of those services might be, or activities might be pared down. But we could create a survey, and actually that was something we were intending on doing anyways, and let me talk about that a little bit, and this could just be sub questions at the end of the survey. So based on all the issues that you all just mentioned, I wrote down what you talked about. Our plan going forward to kind of hone in a little bit about what this group would want to pursue, and also to give an opportunity for those that aren't on the call to be able to provide input. I'm going to take the issues and put them into an electronic survey. And so we were thinking that during that survey, then I'd list these issues out, and the participants would then rank with a score 1 through 3 their perception of importance, with 3 being this is very important, the group should definitely pursue this issue, 2 being this is important, maybe we'll pursue it, and 1, it has of little importance to me. And so we would ask then that those responding to the survey, and I'll put these directions in it, that, you know, you kind of distribute your scores evenly so that not everything has a 3, and then we'll aggregate results, and then from that, and those that aren't participating on the call will be able to provide, you know, an option in another section to fill in the blank kind of thing. It'll give an opportunity to kind of have an aggregate score of what some potential issues are for this group to continue to address moving forward. And then we were intending on sending out those results then to the group, and then also bringing them to the Flex Conference. And that's kind of your springboard then at the Flex Conference of what to continue talking about then, and kind of look at those results and then go from there about, okay, well, where do we want to maybe try and start focusing on? And it's not to say that any of these issues that we've brought up today aren't important at all, but just maybe to try to help define a path for moving forward. So at the end of that email survey, we could put in some questions or maybe even some checkboxes or something, just to kind of get some aggregate things and have people reporting in the same kind of lingo, I guess, what activities it is that they've been working on in the last 2 years. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great suggestion, and I think for this one, it'll be a particularly a little bit easier too, because there aren't as many of the activities and objective to pick. You know, just thinking about, you know, the quality improvement section of the grant. There's a lot of different ways to go. So that's a great idea. Let me just make a note here. And does that sound good to you all as a method for moving forward with kind of identifying what work to start talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other issues that come to mind? I was thinking about something as we were talking, and let me know if this really isn't an issue, but with the IRS requirements, there's the need to do a community health assessment, but then there's actually a need to develop a plan about how the hospital is going to pursue those items that come up in the community health assessment, and if they're not going to pursue them, you know, why they're not pursuing them. Is the development of a plan, or is the development of kind of action steps from the health assessment an issue when working with the hospitals that are kind of engaged and in tune with needing to do this requirement, or are they kind of on board and getting the whole collective process of reporting and then following through with that real true and community engagement part of the work?
Well, I'm just speaking for the hospitals I work with. They're not that far along, to be honest with you. That would be nice to make that a part of what we're working on now.
Okay.
Yeah, because you forget about, you have to actually implement around the needs that you have identified. And I think a lot of us forget about that because so many of us just think about the needs assessment.
Right. Okay. Any other issues? Nothing that comes to mind? Okay. So what I'll do here, and I think we might end a little bit early, is I'll send some minutes out to the group that kind of note what we discussed here on the call, and then I'll include a link for the web recording, which will be placed on the task events section of our website for those that weren't able to participate here live today. And then we'll work on putting together this email survey for participants to provide their input and their ranking on level of importance, with maybe addressing some of these issues that we've mentioned today, as well as an option to add in the other issues, and then some subsequent questions at the end about flex activities that programs have been doing over the last 2 years. And then additionally, we'll send out a contact list of who the participants are that have so far volunteered to be a part of this group. Other things, and look for an email to come about the Flex Program Forum webinar that'll be on June 17th at 2 Central Time. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, if someone is interested in vice chairing along with John for this group, to send me an email and we'll go from there. Anything else you all can think of?
Not at this time.
No.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for participating on the call today. We hope that these groups are as useful to you as possible. And like I mentioned, if they're not, please do let us know, and we'll try and tailor it to fit the needs. Thank you again, everyone.
Very good. Thanks.
Thanks.